Hello everyone, my name is Felicitas Brugonetti and I'm the Anti-Trafficking and Education and Outreach Coordinator for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and I am here to interview two amazing women, Carol and Carol Ann, that are two religious sisters that have been fighting the fight against human trafficking for a really long time. So I will hand it over and they can introduce themselves.
In the year 2000, basically, the major superiors of women's religious communities came together in Rome, in Italy, as they do every 5 years, and decided the communities of women religious need to zero in on the crimes of human trafficking globally. And in doing that, they were responding to the needs that they saw in the members of their own communities who were in far-flung parts of the world, but also in very, you know, first world countries as well, that human trafficking exists everywhere. And that the women religious have traditionally been involved with caring for those who are on the margins of society. And the major superiors of women said, we need to take that light and focus it on victims of human trafficking and the perpetrators and circumstances and the victims. Right. Having done that, the sisters of our own community, who's our mother house in Quebec, contacted us here because they had heard of the National Catholic Women's Leadership Group of the U.S. that was sponsoring a four-day workshop on human trafficking in Baltimore, Maryland. We were invited to go, so five or six of our congregation went to this four-day workshop. It was co-sponsored by the bishops, the USCC, and the USCC gave an amazing grant to those working in human trafficking and hired a school sister of Notre Dame, Sister Mary Ellen Doherty, to head up this trafficking education and program and really start it up. The office. And through the bishops and through the State Department, really, the U.S. State Department, and smaller churches, but basically our federal government was in the right place and they had the money to make it happen. They did not supply the needs for this workshop, but they helped. And then they produce these wonderful learning materials. So I'd say five or six of our own community made that four-day workshop, learned more than you could take in 4 days, and were just traumatized almost at what was happening in our world. And as Sister Mary Ellen Doherty said, you are never more than 8 city blocks from a site of human trafficking. Whatever city you live in, East Coast, West Coast, Middle, other countries, you will never be more than 8 city blocks Wow. from actual human trafficking happening.
So Carol Ann and I decided that we would begin to see what we could do. So we gathered a couple of friends and talked about what trafficking is and how we might be able to respond. Mm-hmm. And so after that first meeting, which was held in our living room, Carol Ann said to me, why don't each of us invite one more person to expand our group and see what we can do? So that was the beginning of our Mid-Atlantic Coalition Against Modern Slavery. Mm-hmm. MACUS.
Yes.
And so we have been going on since the 20th. Yeah.
Really?
19.
Since very soon after this request
yeah.
from the Pope, the major superiors of women, the offering of this fabulous learning experience. Mm. It was at a hotel in Baltimore. We live 30 minutes from Baltimore. It couldn't have been better for us.
It was very aligned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we had not only women religious in our group, but we welcomed other folks, lay women. Mostly were Christian, but not all. And in fact, we are pretty inter-religious in our group. And I would also say that that was the beginning of our work in developing a mission statement. And our work is prayer, education, and advocacy. We don't do direct service, but we try to make possible education in many ways. In some ways, we do presentations at parishes. I and another one of our sisters did a presentation at a senior center. And so right now we're looking at a school that has raised a question, can we help them to understand? This is for a grade school, local. And so Carol Ann and two of our other members have gotten together to see whether or not they can develop a curriculum for that possibility. And with regard to advocacy, of course, we're looking at legislation, local and national, and see what we can support, what we can challenge, how we can get other people to also look at this issue. And our other one is prayer. We pray often, first of all, but every other month we do prayer and witness. And that is on the corner of an intersection in downtown Silver Spring, one of the busiest intersections by pedestrians particularly. And there we are holding up some of the blue campaign signs to indicate what it is that we're witnessing about. And as we are doing that, we're silent in prayer. Mm-hmm. So as the people walk by us, they try not to look, but they do look and read the signs or just look at it. And then some of them stop and say, I can't get my head wrapped around this. That's not here, is it? Yes, it is here.
Oh, wow.
That's really a quote from one of the men that stopped to talk to me.
Do you guys get a lot of people asking questions about this kind of stuff?
We have a number of them. You want to?
A number of people stop and ask questions or make comments, and some are just shocking. A woman came up to two of our members, one of whom who had been in Cambodia, I think, for three periods of time doing mission work. And this woman was angry, very angry, and said to this sister, how dare you think you understand this? I am a victim of human trafficking. This woman had grown up, oddly enough, in the same area of Cambodia that the sister was working in, ministering in as a teacher, a school teacher. And that her anger just fled away. The woman said, you mean you were in my hometown? Yeah. Well, where did you live? So they start to talk. Her anger just melted. She was so delighted to talk to someone who's really aiming to do this, make some impact.
Sure. Wow.
So that was a blessing for all of us, because we said, somebody's looking. Somebody's listening.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just a coincidence, or, you know, sometimes God makes coincidences happen. I think that was a big, big one, and a real lift. And you think, you know, this one person is out there in Cambodia, and she just spends 3 years out there and then comes back. Years later, this woman runs into her on the corner where our Saturday Farmers Market is in Silver Spring, Maryland.
We had another woman stop us And she said, I really appreciate what you're doing. It is so needed. In fact, it's also needed up in Wheaton. And you should send some of your people up there. And so we said, well, how do you know so many people? I mean, you know, what is it that's, you say we should be doing more of this? She said, well, I have worked for the government. I know this program. I know what is needed.
Wow.
So she said, keep it up. Keep it up.
That's great.
Yeah, it is great.
You guys seem to have a lot of support on this topic.
The support that we have for each other is what keeps me going. Because if I tried to do something like this alone, it just wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, so, it's definitely a team effort. Yeah.
So we have probably 20-some in our group, our coalition, but they're really like 10 who are the core group. You throw some kind of a gathering, those 10 are there. When you came to meet us, those were the ones.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones. So it really helps me a lot. I was also thinking about both education and prayer because we are gearing up for about the 18th time we've done the Stations of the Cross. The most recent years, we had one of our members who wrote the dialogue both of Jesus and of Paquita. So it is a story of the passion and suffering of both of these people, Jesus and Paquita, that is told through the stations. So her story is educating people, and we're all praying together for the end of this crime.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we are going to have this on website at the end of this month, March 29th, I believe it is. And Carol Ann will welcome people, and then we will
get right into it.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's the old format of Roman Catholic stations.
Yeah.
The first station. But instead of Jesus speaking, it's Josephine Paquita is speaking.
That's wonderful.
I am captured. I am condemned to this life. And then we go back to the old format and say, oh God, that, you know, Roman Catholics will sink right into the format. But they're hearing the life of this woman of Sudan, and
as well as of Jesus.
As of Jesus.
Yeah.
So so we combine them, and it seems to be really a powerful instrument. We were very lucky to have, first of all, to have someone who took big pictures of folks who are on the margins in various parts of the world. And we hung them in the church above the wooden stations.
Wow.
That was extraordinary. Yeah. And I'm sorry to say we only did that 1 year, but it was...
very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. But we don't need that. What we need is for Jesus and Josephine Paquita to tell the story and how, where the hurt, where the grief, where the death comes in.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, International Women's Day was this past week.
Yes,
and it's National Women's History Month. And so I wanted to interview both of you ladies just because you have been such a fight against this issue. And I guess when we think of human trafficking and the disproportionate, you know, women victims that are part of this, it sometimes feels like the only people sometimes fighting against this could be women, or just sometimes there's a little bit of both. But when we think of, you know, the audience or people that don't know anything about this, what is something you would tell to someone that might not know anything about human trafficking to make them, if you could summarize, you know, the need to help others in a 1 minute phrase, you know, what would that be to capture people? If as you guys were saying, you know, the people that stop you on the street, it takes 1 second to give someone information to be like, come join this cause, right? Mm-hmm. Come help these people that are victims, men, women, children. So I ask, you know, what is that when you are able to give that information, what is something we could provide to listeners that might not know too much about human trafficking?
You're not kidding. Or it's something that takes place far away from such a civilized country as the United States, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And just basically, we all know what slavery is. Our country has a horrendous history. And I think to tap into that is a first area to say, it is slavery. Mm-hmm. It is modern slavery. I mean, that would be my first.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think also when when I'm standing there on the corner and people are walking across the street when the signal turns green, I look at the little children that parents are walking with and I say, oh God, protect those children, because we know that even children are trafficked. Mm-hmm. And it's such a horrendous thought for me. So I think in that sense, if I help people to recognize it's everybody is victim, whether black, white, brown, whether rich or poor, whether any classification that we make, there's no escaping.
Yeah.
And so it's up to us. It's our responsibility to do the best we can to make it happen, that people get educated, that we can help in some ways to stop this crime.
Yeah. And if we think of, you know, if anyone that is a survivor or a victim happens to cross by this recording and interview that we have done, what is something you would say to them to know that they are heard?
I'm not understanding.
If someone that was a victim or a survivor came across this interview that we're doing here, what is something you would say to them?
I am so sorry.
Yeah.
That almost brings tears to my eyes, because the horror that women go through when they are trafficked, whether it's for domestic or sex, it is such a violation of who they are as women, even as men. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a violation of themselves, their dignity.
Yeah.
And so I would say, I'm very sorry, and I wish you well. What can I do more that would be helpful to you or to other victims who have survived?
Yeah.
How about you?
Just to say, your name may not be known, but you are so loved and cared for by so many people whom we know, who are working very hard to stop this horrendous evil that happens in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our highways, in our alleyways. It happens. And there are many, many people who care and are trying very hard to work with legal protection, police efforts, church efforts, rehabilitative efforts for the survivors, that you're really in a circle of care, but you must feel so alone. And
there's one other thing I think we could do, and that is to invite her, if she wishes, to tell her story to our people and people that we would invite.
Of course.
If she wants her voice heard, we would make it possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
On some of those meetings we've been able to pull together with the help of local groups, Courtney's House and Polaris.
Networking. Yeah.
And if they have a survivor who's willing to present, and I mean, it just grabs people's hearts. So we've had a number of meetings at churches where we've been really fortunate to have police officer who is directly involved in the field of human trafficking and the vice squad, I guess you'd say. And it's amazing what's happening a block away from the church we're sitting in. And so police officer, a couple of survivors have come The United...
Other people who work as we do.
Right.
Or people who run houses for those who are abused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I started to say the Interreligious Task Force of Washington, D.C. is a strong and mighty group of people. They used to sponsor a yearly gathering of all trafficking workers, survivors, college groups who have come in around this cause, and gather them on the grounds of the Washington Monument. It was fabulous for us because, you know, here we are, this small group, and here we have the Campus Ministry of American University, Catholic University, Georgetown University, and here are the people dedicated to protecting the vulnerable.
Yeah.
From this horror. And I think it was when the budget, we had federal budget problems and many of the federal programs had to stop for a year or two or three. And that was the end of that program because we gathered on the monument grounds. So after that, we haven't had that, but there is great leadership among the leaders of communities of faith, all faith. Now, I'm thinking of DC, of Washington, D.C., but also PG, Prince George's County, Montgomery County.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much to both of you for being on this interview with me. We are so grateful for all the work that Women Religious do against this fight, and thank you for sharing a little bit about the work you guys do and how people can learn more. I will be sharing this information and your information to people so they can reach out. And please pray for us.
Okay. Shall do.
Pray for you.